Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
When we say that God is infinite as to his knowledge, we are saying that God's knowledge is so great, is so vast, that it is without limit. He is, to use the technical word, he is omniscient. One of the attributes of God is his omniscience. Simply put, God knows everything about everything.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, senior pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. The world is full of unsolved mysteries and difficult questions that only the creator of the universe understands. Today, we're looking at the life-changing implications of putting our trust in this all-knowing God. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with a lesson titled, Does God Know Everything?
Can you imagine knowing someone who has the answer to every question you have? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't you trust that person and desire to learn from them? Well, God is omniscient. God knows everything about everything. So, know God. In the present series, we're considering who God is and questions we would ask God. Today's question is a wonderful one. Does God know everything? Last time we learned, God does know everything about everything. Today, we'll consider what that means for each one of us. These truths about God have a direct impact on how we who are following Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord live each day. I find that my faith has been deepened as I understand more and more about this God who knows everything about everything.
Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in Proverbs 9 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Of course it is. The man or woman who walks in the fear of the Lord, who has a true relationship with God, is a wise person. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you know this God, you will be wise. You will have understanding, because this God knows everything about everything. And so if God is the kind of being who knows everything about everything, I want to spend time with God, don't you? In the Old Testament, there's a character called Daniel, who as a teenager is taken captive from his native Israel and brought to pagan Babylon. But because even in Babylon, he's recognized as a wise and godly person, as a man of integrity and a man of understanding, he rises to be prime minister. Oh, there's plenty of wise people in Babylon. They have certain people called wise men, but Daniel's wisdom and Daniel's insights and understanding supersedes any of the men around him, and so he becomes second to the king. He becomes a kind of prime minister. Now, look at Daniel chapter 2 and read how this came about. Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. You see, I would like to be that. I'd like to be a wise person. Perhaps you say, quite honestly, I've made my fair share of foolish decisions. I've really blown it. I've made some bad decisions in my life. I'd like to stop that. I'd like to get on a wise path. I'd like to be known as a person who's wise, who's mature, a person of good judgment, a person of discernment. How does it come? Daniel 2, verse 30. Then to verse 19, Daniel blesses the God of heaven. See, he's a wise man because he's living in the fear of the Lord. Verse 20, Daniel answered and said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. He recognizes that wisdom and power comes from God. And it is he, God, who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me, it's a gift, you have given me wisdom and power. Even now, you have made known to me what we requested of you. for you have made known to us the king's matter. Daniel recognizes that wisdom and understanding comes from God. So we're not surprised to read in Daniel chapter 6 that although there's a decree going out to make prayer illegal under Medo-Persian law, Daniel continues to pray 3 times a day as he did. Why did he continue to pray? Because he's committed to spending time with God. He realizes that day by day, hour by hour, he needs God's wisdom and God's understanding. And God imparts his wisdom and God gives his knowledge to those who spend time with him. We see that in the New Testament when we come to the book of James. James tells us, if you lack wisdom, what are you to do? Say, well, I guess I'm just not a wise person. I just would like to be wise. No. James says, if you lack wisdom, you ask of God. Ask God for wisdom, who gives to all men generously and without reproach. If you ask, it will be given to you, provided you ask in faith without doubting. Are you in need of wisdom? You say, actual fact, I am, John. Ask God for wisdom. He knows everything about everything. Why are you not availing yourself of the most brilliant wisdom that exists, the wisdom of God, the wisdom that comes from above? Why not avail yourself of that wisdom? Why not humble yourself before God and say, God, give me wisdom in this situation, in that situation. Spend time with the God who knows everything about everything. And that means that daily, yes, daily, today and tomorrow, you spend time in this book. This is God's revelation. This book makes us wise unto salvation. This book makes us adequate for every good work. The Bible. Spend time with God who is all wise, reading his word, reading his revelation, reading his advice. Psalm 119 is all about the word of God. In verses 97 through 105, David is saying why we need to spend time in the word. It makes us wiser than our enemies. You got someone who's hostile to you. You've got a boss who wants to fire you. You got someone who's trying to outmaneuver you. Spend time with the word of God and you will be wiser than your enemies. David says it gives us more insight than our teachers. Gives us more understanding than the individual who is old. That's why from time to time I meet a young man, I meet a young woman, and I speak to them and they understand they've got a maturity beyond their years. This individual is wise. They may be a teenager. Why is this? Their natural intelligence? Partly, but much more importantly, the wisdom that comes from God. Here is a young man, here is a young woman who's spending time in prayer and in the Word of God, and so they have a wisdom which is greater than someone who's 50, 60, 70 years old. It's a wisdom that comes from God. The more you spend time with God, the more you will know God, the more you'll understand life, the more you will understand yourself, the wiser your decisions will be. This is what it means to live in the presence of God, in the fear of God. Remember Isaiah, as he prophesied about the coming Messiah, he describes him as the wonderful counselor. Why not go to the best counselor there is? Our Lord Jesus Christ, his advice is always perfect. God is never wrong because he knows everything about everything. Response number one then, spend time with God. Response number two to this truth that God knows everything about everything, and it is a very simple one but a very difficult one for us, but is the essence of the Christian life, it is to trust God. Trust God. Doesn't that make sense? If God knows everything about everything, isn't it time you would just trust God completely? Sometimes we don't trust people because we realize that their perception is distorted and inaccurate. They don't know everything. They're trying to give us advice, but they don't know us. Sometimes we don't trust our own judgment because we realize we don't have all of the facts. And even if we have all of the facts, we're not sure what to do with them. But can you imagine knowing someone who knows everything about everything? Wouldn't you trust that person? Why is it we're so reluctant to trust God, this good God who knows everything about everything. He knows all of the facts about your situation. He knows all of the circumstances. He knows all your needs. He knows all your fears, all of your emotions, all of your future. Everything is known to him. So throughout Scripture, over and over again, we have in different ways this basic injunction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what David is telling his young son Solomon. Solomon, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Why? God searches your heart. God knows the intent of your thoughts. Trust him. Pursue God. Love God and serve him. Trust God. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. Of course we shouldn't. You think you're pretty smart? You don't know everything about everything. You don't know about tomorrow. You're trying to organize your life. You're trying to make some important decision. Why would you lean on your own understanding when you understand that your understanding is so limited? It's distorted. You only know a small portion of the facts, and even then, what you may think are facts may in fact be untruths. Why would you lean on your own understanding when you can trust the God who knows everything about everything and trust him with all of your heart? In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. In every situation, Lord, I want to bring you into it. When I marry a couple, I often talk about bringing the Lord into the marriage, bringing the Lord into the home. But we should bring the Lord into every decision of our life, shouldn't we? Big ones and small ones. Let's bring the Lord into this situation. Let's have the Lord as the reference point. Before we make a decision, let's pray about it. Let's look to the Lord for wisdom, and let's trust the Lord with all of our heart. Instead of worrying, instead of fretting, trust the God who knows all of your needs, who knows tomorrow, who knows all about you, who knows the future. You say, John, I'm a bit anxious about tomorrow. I understand that. Perhaps you've got a health problem, a family situation, a horrific work situation, a difficult ministry experience you're facing tomorrow. I understand why you're anxious, but let me tell you, don't worry. We worry because we're not sure how some things will turn out. But God always knows how things will turn out because God knows everything about everything. Therefore, trust God. That's what Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, where he tells us, don't be anxious, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Do you think your heavenly Father doesn't know your needs? Of course he does. He knows them all. Relax. Trust him. Trust dispels fear and anxiety. Needing direction in life, struggling with a very difficult personal dilemma this morning. You're in the middle of a tough situation, not sure if you will make it, Job says, but he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold, Job 23, verse 10. God knows the way you take. God knows the outcome of the situation. God knows what you can handle and will never, ever allow you to be in a situation which, with his help and his strength, you cannot handle. So don't be afraid of the future. Trust the God, this God, who knows everything about everything. And he is a good God and a loving God. Response number two, trust God. Here's the final response. When we think that God knows everything about everything, and this again is difficult for us, but it is essential, be honest with God. Spend time with God, trust God. Third, be honest with God. From Psalm 139, we learn that David, like all of us, wants to run away from God from time to time. But it is impossible, impossible to hide from God. Not only is God everywhere, God knows everything. Everything is known by God. Hebrews 4, verse 13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. To God, you're an open book. Everything is open. Everything is bare before God. Why are you trying to cover up? Even our closest family members and friends don't know everything about us. Psychologists sometimes talk of people being in denial, and by this they mean that sometimes we are unable or at least unwilling to face something about ourselves. Perhaps we're so ashamed of something that we did in our past that we have difficulty in admitting it even to ourselves, far less to anyone else. And we're told we are in denial. With God, don't be in denial. That's foolish. Because God knows. You can't hide anything from God. You can't cover up. God knows what you did. He knows the motives. He reads and he searches our thoughts. There is no place to hide. Everything in your life, everything in my life is laid open and bare before God. Why don't you acknowledge that? Why do you pretend that things are right when they're not? Why do you continue to hide that sin in your life? Modern technology is now able to detect the tiniest speck of blood or other clue left behind by criminals at the scene of the crime. We're told now it's very, very difficult, almost impossible, to cover up a crime from criminal and forensic investigators. Well, if that is true, it is impossible to cover up your wrongdoing from God. Therefore, be honest with God. You can't fool God. He is El Roy. He is the God who sees you at all times. Therefore, be honest with God. God sees you. God knows you. Why are we not totally honest with others? Well, we want people to think well of us. We think if we disclosed certain things about ourselves, people would reject us. And that's possibly true. Some people would reject us. But in the miracle of the gospel, this great truth shines. The God who knows everything about you, including the worst. God knows the very worst thing that you've ever done. God knows the most wicked thought that has ever gone through your mind. God knows the unkindness, vilest thing that you've ever said. Everything is known to God. He knows the worst about you, but he loves you more than any other being in the whole universe. You say, that's staggering. I know it is. We call that grace. We call that undeserved kindness. We call that the steadfast love of God. And if the tiniest detail of the most insignificant thing in your life is known by God, such as how many hairs you've got on your head, do you not think God knows all about your sin? Of course he does. Knows the very worst about you, and yet loves you the most. So Paul says, God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, that's it, Christ died for us. Do you realize that we are loved when we were sinners, when we were ungodly? And the miracle of the gospel is that we must acknowledge that. And as we acknowledge that, God then pours in his compassion and his forgiveness and makes us new creations in Christ. That's the wonder of it. And so Jesus says there were two men who went to the temple to pray. One was a very self-righteous man. One was very religious. One was in denial, if you like. And he wanted to tell God how wonderful he was and all the things that he did. And he loved to pray so that others could hear him. God didn't hear anything of it. He was really a foolish man. There's another man who wouldn't even raise his head, but just kept beating himself on the breast. And his prayer was this: God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's it. And so the grace of God and the forgiveness of God in the gospel comes not to the self-righteous, not to those who try to protect themselves and their image by religion and good deeds and ritualism and try and project a false image to others and pretend before God that they are better than others. No, mercy and grace and forgiveness comes to the sinner, to those who are honest with God, to those who repent of their sins, to those who acknowledge that they have sinned. Proverbs 28, verse 13, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, But he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. If you continue, my dear friend, to conceal your sin, you will not prosper. You've concealed it too long. It needs to be confessed. It needs to be departed from. Then you will prosper. If you confess your sin, if you forsake your sin, God will grant you compassion and forgiveness. So isn't it time you confessed your sin and got right with God? And some of you are followers of Christ, but sin has come into your life. Do you understand that Christ comes not to condemn us, but to save us? Will you then trust God? Will you make sure you personally know this God who knows everything about everything? You say, how can I know this God? Only one way. It is through trusting His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and Lord. This is where it begins, but that's not where it ends. We are to continue to live by faith. There is no other way. Will you trust God with all of your heart? Will you also be honest with God? Pray as David did at the end of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know if I have any anxious ways, and see if there be any wicked way, any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the life everlasting. Will you pray that? Search me, so that the penetrating knowledge of God goes right in to the shadows and the dark recesses of your heart and your soul, and exposes you for who you are, that you are a sinful person, and then opened your eyes to see the grace and the compassion of God. Being honest with God and then honest with others. Will you spend time with God? Good to discuss your problems with others. Wise to get good counsel. But make sure you seek the wonderful counselor, the perfect counselor, our great God, who knows everything about everything, who knows the future, and who's promised to give His wisdom and His understanding to those who humbly live in His presence and ask in faith. And when you're anxious, and when you're fearful, and when you're worrying, and when you're not sure what to do, and when you find yourself in the middle of the foggiest situation imaginable, will you trust this all-knowing God? He knows your name. He sees your situation. He's aware of your worries and fears. He knows your future, and He loves you. Trust Him. If He knows when a sparrow falls, He certainly knows all about you. And if His eye is on the sparrow, I know He watches me.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Does God Know Everything? Today's lesson is part of our current series called, What Would You Ask God?, where we'll continue to unpack some of the most fundamental and commonly asked questions we have about God. And to go along with this powerful study, John has just released a new study guide to help you walk through the key points and core themes of each message we'll be sharing here on the program. You can follow up on today's lesson and be ready for the question next time, Is God Everywhere? By downloading or requesting a free copy of the listening guide today. Just go to our new website at theverdict.org and download your PDF copy of the What Would You Ask God listening guide. And before we end today's program, we also want to invite you to play a part in what God is doing through The Verdict. With your donation of any amount, you're helping us share God's Word with new listeners each week. So if reaching others with the gospel is something you're passionate about, consider giving a financial gift today to support this ministry. Whether it's $5, $50, less, or more, it's easy to give today when you visit theverdict.org. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to our daily podcast, now featuring John's weekly podcast exclusive, Avizandum. To learn more about this new topical feature, just visit our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to close out today's program.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you agree that God knows everything about everything? What difference does this make in your life? Will you spend more time with God, so that you're listening to Him and growing in your knowledge of God? Will you trust Him and realize that He truly knows best? Will you be honest with God? You can't hide from God. He knows everything. Above all, know God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next time, we think of another intriguing question in this series on God. Join me then.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.